Hi, this is the January-February 2024 edition of Sports Illustrated Kids. This is the Great Mistakes issue. We'll begin on page 9, their warm-up section. Welcome to the Dark Ages. Tom Brady created a stir last November when he told Stephen A. Smith, "I think there's a lot of mediocrity in today's NFL. First off, Tom, props bro, an athlete of your stature doesn't need to say anything controversial to become a media personality. But you've come out the gates firing with a hot take worthy of this magazine. If you ever want to pen a guest column, I'd be happy to take an issue off. Secondly, I believe you. People have painted Brady as yet another middle-aged retiree complaining about how things were better back in his day. The difference, however, between Tom Brady and every other 46-year-old former QB is that Brady was beating those kids on the field just a year ago. So let's take Brady seriously. In 2019, the cover of this very magazine declared, "Sorry, grown-ups, the golden age is now," with an image of Stephen Curry, Serena Williams, Simone Biles, and Brady as marble and gold statues. Brady and Williams have retired. Biles and Curry are probably in the back half of their careers. Has a new crop of stars risen to replace them? I don't think so. Look at the NFL. Around the time Brady made his statement, first-year starters Sam Howell and C.J. Stroud were pacing the league in passing yards. That suggests a bright future for the Commanders and Texans. But what does it say about the rest of the league? That two newbies were leading a category once dominated by Brady, Peyton Manning, and Drew Brees. Brady, Manning, and Patrick Mahomes became the first passers to throw 50 touchdowns in a season in the prior two decades. When the GOAT groused, nobody was on pace to break 40 this season. The NBA seems a few years away from a similar situation. LeBron James has the NBA's only pre-1985 birthday, but he's still crossing over players born in the 21st century. It's a testament to the King's greatness, but maybe it reflects a decline too. Lionel Messi, age 36, edged out a bunch of guys in their early 20s to win last year's Ballon d'Or. Brady blamed modern rules for teaching NFL players bad habits. Pass interference and roughing the passer penalties have gotten stricter. They incentivize quarterbacks to hang in the pocket longer and underthrow deep balls, hoping it'll get their receiver and a defensive back tangled up. Similar trends exist in other leagues. How many times has James Harden awkwardly jumped into a defender trying to draw a cheap foul? Modern baseball players love to swing wildly, hoping for the all-important home run. On the other hand, there are a handful of do-it-all athletes redefining their games, like Giannis Antetokounmpo and Shohei Ohtani. Sorry if I mispronounced those. It's tough to weigh the singular statistical achievements of a player like Ohtani against the reality that he and every other modern pitcher will likely never reach 300 wins. I'm equivocating, though. I'm afraid to admit that there is no next LeBron James. Nobody in today's NHL is going to chase the all-time goal record after Alexander Ovechkin takes it from Wayne Gretzky. Oh, no. We really are in the dark age. I can be philosophical about this situation, though. Down years can be fun if you're the kind of fan who just roots for the best players. Bummer. Try tennis. But for the rest of us who want to see our favorite player or favorite team have a chance, parity rocks. 10 different teams have a shot at the NBA Finals. And when it comes to a supposed golden or dark age in sports, the word age is a tad dramatic. Remember when I said SI Kids declared a golden age in 2019, just 5 years ago? The capital D Dark Ages supposedly lasted 10 centuries between the fall of Rome and the Renaissance. I don't think we'll have to wait 1,000 years for the Patriots to find another franchise quarterback. The Jets, on the other hand, Have you seen that oft-parodied meme that goes, hard times create strong people create good times create weak people create hard times? Well, I've got a new one for you. Bad sports create great columnists create hot takes create smart kids play good sports. Next up, Triple Play Baseball's Lord of the Rings. Entering the winter meetings, Will Smith was a free agent. His availability was something of a mystery because the veteran lefty seems incapable of not winning the World Series every year, no matter where he's playing. Smith's string of success started in 2021 with the Braves. He came out of the bullpen in 71 regular season games, save 37 games, then had seven more appearances, including two wins in the postseason, as Atlanta won its first title since 1995. Midway through the 2022 season, Smith was traded to the Astros. Though he didn't appear in the postseason, he was on the World Series roster and came away with his second ring in as many years. Smith became a free agent following Houston's win, and he signed a one-year deal with the Rangers. He went on to lead Texas with 22 saves while topping the staff in appearances with 60. That made him the first player in the Big Four men's leagues to win three straight titles with three different teams. As a kid in your front yard playing catch when you're first falling in love with baseball, it's always 3-2, bottom of the ninth, game seven of the World Series, Smith said, after the Rangers' victory. You always dream of being in these situations, so to be lucky enough to do it 3 years in a row, it's something I don't take for granted. It was actually the fourth straight year that Will Smith went home with a ring. In 2020, the catcher with the same name was part of the Dodgers' title-winning team. He played a huge role in LA's postseason run, hitting a go-ahead three-run homer in the crucial fifth game of the NLCS, off of none other than Will Smith. We're on page 12 for future star Kayla Hahn, birthplace La Miranda, California, birth date May 31, 2008, sport, swimming. Kayla Hahn is no stranger to swimming against older competition. She was the youngest athlete, only 13 at the 2020 U.S. Olympic trials, where she came from behind to win the B-final women's 400-meter IM. She has shared the pool with seven-time Olympic gold medalist Katie Ledecky, and now Kayla has a gold of her own, too. She won the 800-meter freestyle, 8:29.66, a personal best, at the 23 World Junior Championships in Netanya, Israel. When I touched for gold, Hahn says, I felt relieved and super happy to bring gold to Team USA. We're going to jump to page 17 now for Phenom Watch, Patty Zoe. Last winter, Patty Zoe became the youngest snowboarder to reach the podium on the Dew Tour when she took second in the Super Pipe Final in Colorado at just 11 years old. It wasn't her debut on the snowboarding scene. A YouTube video from 3 years ago entitled 8-Year-Old Snowboarding Phenom Shreds Like a Pro has more than 500,000 views. The Dew Tour solidified Zoe as not just one of the sport's rising stars, but also as one of its best personalities. When asked right after nailing a front lip pretzel out, how'd you do that? Zoe replied simply, I don't know, it just came to me. It's so easy, I love it. We caught up with the quotable Patty Z to see what she's been up to since her historic run last February. The question from SI Kids, where have you been this year? Patty's response, we spent some time in the U.S. for the Dew Tour and stuff. Then we went back to China, which I was really excited about. Then we came to Europe, to Switzerland and Austria. SI Kids asks, how was your Dew Tour experience? PZ's response, I'm so shocked because it was such a cool experience. I can't believe that I got to compete in the Dew Tour when I was 11 with all the adults. And it was just really fun. I love the energy, and I love snowboarding. Snowboarding gave me the energy to go to Dew Tour. I'm just really happy. Question, how much time do you spend in a year snowboarding? PZ's response, maybe 24/7 on snowboarding and training. It's fun. Snowboarding's fun. SI Kids, I saw you were surfing. Is that another sport you want to get into professionally? PZ's response, I really want to compete in the World Surf League, and I really want to compete in snowboarding and surfing at the same time. It's fun. Surfing is so fun. I love surfing. When I touch the water, I feel like I turn into water. And when I'm snowboarding, it feels like my other superpower. So do you have a favorite superhero? PZ says, I like the Flash. He's very cool. SI Kids asks, we usually ask all the athletes, kids or adults, a few of their favorite things. So what movie have you seen the most times? P's response, I've seen so many movies so many times. Do you have a favorite? Well, my favorite movie is probably a Chinese movie. It's called Gong Fu, like Kung Fu. What's your favorite athlete outside of your sport? I can't say that. They're all so great. What's your favorite pizza topping? You'll think I'm weird. My favorite is actually Hawaiian plus anchovies. SI Kids, you won't believe me, but the next question is, what is your favorite subject in school? Her response, my favorite subject is not math. My favorite subject is probably school is hard. I don't really like school, but I can't say school is a bad thing. So my favorite subjects are probably English and history, since you do more reading and less calculating. All right, let's get to some of the great mistakes. We need to set the scene a little bit. We're on page 36. You all remember the 1986 World Series. The Red Sox had the Mets right where they wanted them, down 5-3 in the 10th of Game 6. Boston was one strike away from ending the curse of the Bambino, more on that later. With two outs, the Mets managed to scratch out two runs. Then, with a runner on second, Mets outfielder Mookie Wilson hit a slow grounder up the first baseline. It went through the legs of Red Sox first baseman Bill Buckner. The Mets scored, winning the game and forcing Game 7, which they also won. Okay, so you don't actually remember 1986, neither do I. But if you're a fan of baseball, I'm not showing you the photo to the right for the first time. Imagine if people were still talking about a single mistake you made almost 40 years later. That misplay has totally eclipsed Buckner's solid 22-year career in Major League Baseball. But Buckner teaches us an important lesson. You have to be on the field in a big moment to make a famous mistake. The NBA's all-time leader in turnovers is LeBron James. Reggie Jackson, remembered as the greatest clutch hitter ever, also has the MLB record for strikeouts. Wayne Gretzky said you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and Gretzky himself missed thousands. Buckner would have looked better if he was nowhere near the ball, but he tried to make a play. And that photo they referred to is of Buckner and the ball that ultimately went right between his legs. Next up in the Great Mistakes issue, Tony Romo's side hustle fumble. When he took over starting QB duties for the Cowboys, Tony Romo remained the team's holder. That led to a weird situation in the 2006 NFC wildcard game. As a quarterback, Romo had led his team to a certain victory, needing just a last-second chip-shot field goal to beat the Seahawks. But as the holder, he blew it. He fumbled the snap, then tried to recover by running it for a touchdown before getting tackled on the one. Hack performance. Hack Wilson hit 471 for the Cubs in 1929 World Series, but he lost two balls in the sun in Game 4, letting the A's score 10 runs in one inning. Philadelphia won the game 10-8 and the series 4-1. And with his Giants walking off against the Cubs in 1908, Fred Merkle didn't bother running to second base from first, but Chicago's Johnny Evers tagged the bag and the Cubs finished one game ahead of the Giants. J.R. Smith forgets the score. LeBron James has a very expressive face. J.R. Smith did a lot of things that caused it to contort. As good as they were as a basketball combo, they were even better at producing memes. With just over 4 seconds left in a tied Game 1 of the 2008 Finals, George Hill missed a free throw that would have given the Cavs a one-point lead. Smith grabbed the rebound and, instead of going back to the basket, dribbled the ball out to midcourt. He realized his team wasn't winning when he saw James furious pointing, but it was too late. The game went to overtime, which Golden State won. It was hilarious, if you're not a Cavs fan. The band is on the field. It's a moment so famous that it's now simply known as the play. It could just as easily be called the comedy of errors. Leading 2019 with a few seconds left in their 1982 rivalry game, Stanford kicked off to Cal. The Golden Bears executed 5 laterals, some of dubious legality, en route to Kevin Moen running for a touchdown. The ref's possible missed calls got bailed out by Stanford's band, which had run onto the field during the return. Subway slip-up. Let this be a lesson about running out every ball. A-Rod popped it up with 2 outs in the 9th and Yankees on 1st and 2nd. Mets second baseman Luis Castillo dropped it, and both runners scored. Zidane loses his head. Well, this mistake is more a lapse in judgment than a whoopsie. In the 2006 World Cup final, France's Zinedine Zidane replied to some Italian smack talk with a headbutt. France then lost on penalties. We're at the bottom of page 39. Whoa, he has trouble with the snap. Usually in a college rivalry, whichever team won last is bragging rights. Sometimes, however, a loss is so embarrassing that it hangs over the matchup for years. Michigan had Michigan State dead to rights in 2015. The Wolverines were up 2 points, punting with 10 seconds left. Basically, all they had to do was not fumble the snap so badly that the Spartans could recover it and run it for a touchdown on that play. So about that. Too soon. Score first. Celebrate later. Lindsay Jacobelli's fall and redemption. The USA's Lindsay Jacobellis was a sure gold medalist in the 2006 Winter Olympics in Turin. Right before she crossed the finish line in the snowboard cross final, however, she tried to grab her board in celebration and fell, allowing Tanja Frieden of Switzerland to pass her. She won gold 16 years later in Beijing. Kaylin Clay arrives without the ball. In 2014, Utah's Kaylin Clay wasn't the first or the last receiver to celebrate too early en route to the end zone. Clay's unique mistake, however, wasn't that he got caught by a defender. He just dropped the ball on the 1 yard line. Leon Lett's letdowns. During Super Bowl XXVII, Leon Lett allowed a Bills player to catch him when celebrating a touchdown too early. Next season, he touched a blocked field goal, letting the Dolphins kick again. Luckily for him, the Cowboys won the Super Bowl both years. And Chris Webber calls a timeout that Michigan didn't have. Sorry, Michigan fans, that you've already appeared twice in this issue, but before he was an NBA superstar, Chris Webber made an infamous blunder in the 1993 NCAA championship game, calling a timeout down 2 points with 11 seconds left. One problem. Michigan was out of timeouts, leading to a technical foul and a North Carolina win. More great mistakes. Now we're on page 41, capital mistake. JaVale McGee is a good player who has made the occasional mental error. This tendency has led to his frequent appearances on the Shaqton a Fool blooper reel and McGee's ensuing feud with Shaquille O'Neal. We don't want McGee mad at us, too, so we're just going to focus on a specific mistake he made in February 2012 as a member of the Washington Wizards. Playing the Raptors, his team grabbed an offensive rebound and McGee got back on defense. Steve Smith's bad birthday. From 1984 to 88, the Edmonton Oilers won 4 out of 5 Stanley Cups. The one they missed was 1986. In Game 7 of the Smythe Division Finals against the Calgary Flames, Oilers defenseman and birthday boy Steve Smith broke a 2-2 tie for Calgary. On a botched pass from behind his net, he banked the puck off goalie Grant Fuhr's leg into his own net. We're at the bottom of page 41. This first photo, titled Wrong Way Wriggles, you never want to make a mistake so bad that it becomes your nickname. Just ask Wrong Way Roy Wriggles. The Cal center scooped up a fumble in the 1929 Rose Bowl and ran. Well, you know, Georgia Tech scored a safety soon after and won 8-7. I learned you can bounce back from misfortune, Wriggles told the Pasadena Star years later. Miracle at the Meadowlands. One man's miracle is another man's mistake. With 31 seconds left in a game his team was leading, Giants quarterback Joe Pisarcik just needed to do anything other than what he did, fumbling a bizarre failed handoff attempt. The Eagles ran the ball back 26 yards for the win. Jackie Smith Super Bowl drop. If the Cowboys player in the above photo looks like he's just collapsed, there's a reason why. With his team driving in Super Bowl 13, Cowboys tight end Jackie Smith dropped a sure touchdown. Dallas settled for a field goal and ultimately lost the game by 4 points, 35-31. Smith, a future Hall of Famer, made no excuses. So, on page 42, what if you make a mistake? It's fun to read about the pros' mistakes, but maybe it reminds you of a time you flubbed something. Dartmouth Sport Psychology Director Mark Hyatt has advice. Mistakes are a part of learning and participating in any sport at any level. It can feel bad if we make mistakes, but that is also a sign that we care and want to improve, which is a good thing. Pay attention to your self-talk, the inner voice we all have. For example, if you miss a shot in basketball and you may say to yourself, "That was a terrible shot. I stink." We can reframe that thought to something more productive like, "I missed that shot, but I'm going to keep practicing and taking good shots. I know I'll hit the next ones." Productive thinking is focused on the present and what we can control in the situation. All right, and so we continue with the great mistakes. We need to talk about Bartman. Poor Steve Bartman. Bill Buckner became the face of the supposed curse of the Bambino in the Red Sox playoff, a drought, when he let the ball roll between his legs. Cubs fan Steve Bartman similarly became the living embodiment of the curse of the Billy Goat when he interfered with Moises Alou's attempt to catch a foul ball during Game 6 of the NLCS in 2003. It's only Bartman's fault, however, if you blame him for everything that came after. Alou not making the catch, a wild pitch, a flubbed double play by Alex Gonzalez, the 8 total runs they allowed that inning. Clearly, there were plenty of mistakes to go around. And we'll finish up with this side note. What did we learn? They say that you should learn from your mistakes, and we see no reason that you can't learn from the mistakes of others, too. And after reading these 12 pages, you basically have an advanced degree in errors. So what's the lesson? For one thing, the sheer volume of flubs covered here should make it clear that mistakes do happen to great players, to obscure players, to athletes in every decade and every conceivable situation. Furthermore, not all gaffes are the same. The goofs in which a player celebrated a score too early and had the ball taken away? Hopefully you don't need to live that nightmare to avoid it, but the mistakes that came from the striving. Those are mistakes worth making. To reiterate what the great one said, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take, and usually around 88% of the ones you do. And we'll finish up on page 46 with history lesson. With the NFL's biggest event happening during Black History Month, let's take a look back at some of the game's most significant trailblazing moments. Super firsts. Doug Williams, champion at last. For years, black quarterbacks were a rarity in the NFL, so much so that the first 21 Super Bowls featured all-white players at the position. When Washington's Doug Williams led his team to Super Bowl 22, he faced a number of questions about his role in history, all of which he answered gracefully. When it finally came time to play, he showed how silly the stigma he and other black players faced was. As his offense lit up the Denver Broncos for 35 points in the second quarter alone, en route to a 42-10 win. Williams was named MVP, throwing for a then-record 340 yards. And the 2023 Super Bowl was the first in which both starting quarterbacks were black, Jalen Hurts of the Eagles and Patrick Mahomes of the Chiefs. And they staged an epic battle. Hurts ran for 3 TDs while Mahomes threw for 3, and each completed more than 70% of their attempts as Kansas City won a barn burner 38-35. After his Bears won the NFC title game after the 2006 season, making him the first black coach to clinch a Super Bowl berth, Chicago's Lovie Smith had his sights set higher. "I feel even better to be the first black coach to hold up the world championship trophy," he said. He wasn't, but history was still made at that Super Bowl. A few hours after the NFC championship, Tony Dungy led his Colts to the AFC title. When they met 2 weeks later, Indy came out on top 29-17. And after Dungy and Smith made history, Pittsburgh's Mike Tomlin became the third black head coach in the Super Bowl history 2 years later, leading his Steelers to a win over the Cardinals. In 2011, he became the second and still only black coach to reach the big game twice. While black QBs have thrived since Williams broke the Super Bowl color barrier, the lack of minority coaches in the league remains striking. In 2023, Tomlin, who had zero losing records in his first 16 seasons, was one of only 3 black coaches on opening day. Well, and that's all the time we have for this issue of Sports Illustrated Kids. This is their January-February 2024 issue. Thanks for listening. Hope you have a great day.